Ephesians chapter 1. Our text is verses 15 through 19 of that scripture. So would you stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the truths of Thy Word. And we pray now over the next few minutes that You would help us to guard our hearts and our minds through Thy Holy Spirit, that we would not be robbed of the blessing of listening to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth. Teach us and reveal to us the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring conviction and encouragement where that is necessary. And yet at the same time, we pray today that if there is someone who does not know Christ as Savior, may today be that day of salvation. For we pray it in Thy name. Amen. You may be seated. What would it be like to have the Apostle Paul come as a speaker? You might think, whoa, I'm going to show up there. You know, let's put it on the radio. Let's put it, you know, advertised in the paper. The Apostle Paul's coming. Well, we already have his letter, God's Word, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We have that to go by. What would it be like if he were here and then to hear the Apostle Paul pray? Whoa. Well, folks, do you realize we already get an insight into the apostles' intercession for the churches throughout the Ephesus here in our text? Here's the apostle who's been given oversight to God's churches, an apostle, the one who is sent to those churches as he began to plant them. And when he stops, after our introduction in Ephesians, when he begins to recount all that we have in Christ, all the blessings of redemption, all the forgiveness of sins, our inheritance, our calling that God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, all those things that we have, he says it is for this reason. It is for the reason that you have come to Christ, all the blessings that you have, that I can't help but think of you. And when I think of you, I do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Wow. And so what we have here this morning, an apostle's prayer for the church. An apostle's prayer for the church in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. And in that prayer, you get insight, not only some characteristics about the church itself, but you give insight into how, if this is how an apostle's praying for the church, maybe it would be good for each of us to pray this way for our church. And so let's look at the text and see what it says. I realize I have some P's here. Peter Piper picked, you know. So here we go. Perpetual praise in their relationships. Perpetual praise in their relationships. He says, for this reason, I too, having heard, what did he hear that caused him to not cease to give thanks? He said, I've heard something about you and in your reputation that I can't help but thanking God for what you are and who you are in Christ. And so first of all, he says to them, come on, there we go. He says that they have a relationship with God. He praises God in their relationships. First of all, in their relationship with Him. I do not cease giving thanks for you, of you. What is it? Because I heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you or exists among you. It was their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, their dependence upon Him. Faith, listen, is trust, a confidence, a reliance. It's not just an intellectual head knowledge or affirmation. It is what you are depending upon. Now, we have a stool back here, and we do this, you know, all the time. And do we have any engineers in, you know, okay, you know what? If we wanted to do it, we could go and say, I'd like to have an engineer's analysis of the strength of this stool to see whether or not it would hold me up. And I could see that piece of paper, and I could read it, and I could give intellectual assent. Yes, I believe that this stool will hold me up based upon that engineer's assessment. But am I really believing right now? Am I really believing as it's described in the Word of God? Not till what? Not until you sit on it. You know, thanks. Am I believing now? No. It is not until I place my full weight, and now we're going to have some video. Somebody's taking video, and it will go to, you know, America's Funniest Home Videos. The pastor falls on the ground, you know. You've seen some of those. But right now, this is belief. This is complete dependence and trust and confidence. That's what belief is. It is my complete dependence and trust. That is biblical faith. Biblical faith. It is my dependence and trust upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, that is one of the hallmarks of the church. We cannot forget the message of the gospel of salvation and why we're here. That means that you get away with all the agendas and everything that you think that you might want to try to accomplish that's fancy. But folks, you cannot forget the gospel. That ought to be your mark of reputation. Those folks believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their dependence and their faith and their trust in Him. And so faith is more than an intellectual affirmation. Colossians chapter 1 verse 23 says, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. There are people who call themselves Christians, but they have moved away from the hope of the gospel because that has ceased to be their reputation. The reputation of the church should be that those folks have not moved away from the hope of the gospel that they have heard. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2, we're talk about the healing of a paralytic man. A man who came before the Lord Jesus Christ and he was laying on a bed. And Jesus says, seeing their faith, he saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, take courage, my son, your sins are forgiven. If the apostle Paul were coming through Penn Valley, would he say, I have heard of your faith? I have heard of your faith. What would he hear? What would he hear? This was such here that the church that he couldn't help but think and praise the Lord for their faith toward among the believers and all that was there. Not only did he give thanks for that, but our text says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus was exists among you, there was one other characteristic of this church. What was it? Their relationship with the believers. Their love for all the saints. Their relationship with believers. John chapter 13 and verse 35 says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have what? Love for one another. Folks, do you understand the depth of that verse? What is at stake when the church is at odds with one another within the body? It is the message of the gospel that is at stake. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If it is not clear that you have love for one another, then you will not be known as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So understand this, please. Also, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a what? A sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. From the heart. Another thing that I want you to say this, and I think it was so important that you talked about forgiveness. Many of us, maybe you've grown up in church of a long time, and you could talk all about, you might even talk about grace. You might know about God, that He's omnipresent and omniscient, that He's omnipotent, all those things. You might be able to list off some doctrines of the church, and you might even be recognized as a mature believer. That being the case, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, and if you had no knowledge of the Bible, erase your mind, you have no knowledge of the Bible. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, here is the Lord Jesus Christ and He's over here, and I want to follow Him, and if I walk in the light as He is in the light, then I will have fellowship with... Stop! Shh! Erase that. You're getting ahead of me. Let's rewind again. There's God over here. If I walk in the light as God is in the light, then I will have fellowship with... You would think logically that would follow as the next sentence. Are you with me so far? If I walk in the light as He is in the light, then I will have fellowship with... Except that's not what the verse says. That's not what it says. If I walk in the light, I have fellowship with who? One another. That means that it doesn't matter how much head knowledge that you might have of the Scripture and whether or not you can quote all the doctrines that are there, understand this, please, that my spiritual relationship and how far I am in my relationship with God is directly proportional to my relationship with my brother in Christ. And the proof text for that is 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If I walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. You cannot say that I am in fellowship with God and be at odds with a fellow believer in Christ. And that doesn't, and even if you go to church every Sunday, and even if you go to Sunday school, and even if you're active in the church in such a way that you're working to benefit and further the cause of Christ, and you might consider yourself a spiritual person, whatever that looks like, you cannot be in fellowship with God unless you are in fellowship with one another. The hallmark, the testimony of the church at Ephesus, he says, I heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you, and your love for your best friends in the church that you get along with. Your love for all the saints. Your love for all the saints. And because of that, I can't help but pray for you, and I can't stop giving thanks for what God has done. I can't help but stop and give thanks for what God has done while making mention of you in my prayers. And while I'm praying for you, This is my hope for you, as the apostle begins to continue to pray. What does he want? A purposeful petition. There's the Peter picked a, you know, a purposeful petition to comprehend the privileges that you have. With purpose, he makes mention of them in his prayers. And what does he want for them? He says, I want you to experience God's person. I want you to experience God's person. What does he say? I want the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, to give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I want you to know Christ. But if you're to experience God's person, it's divine in its source. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the what? Father of glory. Everything that we have comes from God. He is glory. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory. He is above all and in all. He has created all things. Matthew chapter 6 at the end of the Lord's prayer. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It all comes from him. The revelation of God originates from him. He is it all. He's the Father of glory that God may give. And what does he want to give? Christ. That you would increase, or that he would grant you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him. The greatest revelation about God and who he is and what he desires and what he wants is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on, verse 14, the Word was made what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. The greatest revelation of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And had the world understood it, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Folks, understand this, please. Spiritual truth number one from this text. As he desires to experience God in his person, God desires to reveal himself to men. God desires to reveal himself. He prays that God would grant you this, that it would come from God. God's going to give you. What does he want God to give? This divine revelation to experience his person. Divine in source. Divine in revelation. But you'll notice if you have an NIV, what does it do with the word Spirit in verse 17? It capitalizes the word Spirit. Holy Spirit. That he would give to you a Spirit, the Holy Spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. You have within you the Holy Spirit, who can reveal all things to you about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not there to reveal himself. He's there to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Do you know what you're thinking this morning? Even if you're not paying attention to the message, you're thinking. Now I brought you back. Come on back. You know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking, but you know what you're thinking. The Apostle Paul says, well, you got that figured out. Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Wow. Wow, that's in 1 Corinthians 2. So spiritual truth number 2 from this text. The revelation of God is the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit that you have in you. Experience God's person. To experience God's person, divine in its source, divine in revelation, divine in intimacy. Divine in intimacy. Number 3, divine in intimacy. He says in this verse, in the New American Standard, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. The God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge. It says in the knowledge of Him. The NIV says that you may know Him better. Young's literal translation says in the recognition of Him. The Greek adds a prefix to this word knowledge to intensify the degree of knowledge. That means to know fully, accurate. It's full disclosure. Nothing held back. Open for all to see. Folks, the Holy Spirit, God has given you the Holy Spirit so that He could reveal Himself, Jesus Christ, to you in such a way that there is full disclosure. And nothing held back. Nothing held back. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. In a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Spiritual truth number 3 from this passage is God desires that we know Him completely. God desires that we know Him completely. We can say that we might know about someone, but it's a whole lot different when you're living with them and you really know them. And you know they're good and they're bad. What then does the Apostle Paul desire for the church here in his prayer? I keep praying for you. I keep thanking God for you. That God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, gives to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And what is that? Well, He wants you to have some enhanced spiritual insight. And what is that? Look, if you would please, at the next verse. I pray, verse 18. There are 3 words of perception. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened so that you know. The eyes, enlightened, to illumine, and to know, to perceive. To know, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, the assurance of His people. What is the hope of His calling? Hope, the confident expectation, the assurance to the people of God, the assurance of salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His kingdom and glory. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. the assurance. Your eyes might be open to this hope and this confident expectation of salvation that you have. And I want you to be aware that you are rich. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? You know, sometimes when you've grown up in the church, you forget what you have. Sometimes when you live in the Penn Valley, Grass Valley area, you forget how beautiful it is. You are rich in Christ. Keep your eyes fixed upon Him and who He is. And remember what you have in Him. And may it never become so commonplace. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, because all that Christ has is yours. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, if you are children, then you're heirs also. And if you are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, and if indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may be also what? Glorified with Him. All that we have is Christ. May you come to know the assurance and the hope of His people and the salvation that you have, the affluence of His possessions, of the riches of the glory of His, of the inheritance in the saints, but also the abundance of His power. What is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? You know, when you try to think how powerful man is, you can come up with all kinds of energy sources, you know, nuclear power plants. But if you really want to talk about some power, it seems like you got to get to the explosion side. I don't know, guys, we just blow things up. Yeah. It's bad because it destroys people's lives. War is horrible. But the atomic bomb, that's pretty powerful stuff. But the biggest bomb ever built by man was a multi-stage hydrogen bomb built by the Russians. 3,800 times more powerful than the nuclear blasts at Japan. You think, man, that's power. Excuse me. Did you ever hear of Jesus? He arose from the dead. Top that one. Ever hear of God? Let there be light, and there was. Did you ever hear God? I see a little bit of dirt here, and there's man. And the Apostle Paul begins to write and pray for the church, and he prays that you might know what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us. Get those words in this text. Look at your text. What is the surpassing greatness of His power out there in the heavens floating around? Just so you can observe it. No, it is His power what? Toward us. It is His power directed toward us, the church, His people. And that's why the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundant beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us." That's why he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing greatness of His power may be of God and not from themselves. And in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, "that I might know Him and the what? Power of His resurrection." Folks, you might find yourself in a tough position and you're going through life and you feel like you're Israel and you just left Egypt and you're marching along and suddenly you come to the Red Sea and you go, ugh. So you turn around to go back, and then you see what? Now what, Lord? And He says, just wait. Keep moving forward, because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to part the sea so that you can walk through a bunch of mud. You can walk on what? Dry ground. I'll get you to the other side. Sometimes life is like that, but I submit to you this morning that the Apostle Paul, as he prays in behalf of the church, that as you move forward, that you might know the Lord Jesus Christ, that He might become paramount in your life and in your church, so that people might come to know that you are a people of faith, the hope and the confidence of the gospel of salvation and the forgiveness of sins, that you might become as a people, people who love each other in such a way that there is no mistake that you are a follower of Christ. Because anybody can have a fight. World does that real good. But we have a ministry of reconciliation, the Bible says. But understand this, that you have a hope of a calling, and you have riches of an inheritance in the saints, and you have somebody that is so great that His power is directed toward you as God's people. That's quite a prayer. Would to God that we pray it for our church and for churches and for missions and missionaries. Lord, that we would be a people of the gospel. Lord, that we would be a people that love each other. Lord, that we would be a people who have a spirit of wisdom and a revelation and knowledge of Christ. That the eyes of our heart would be enlightened in such a way that we would know the assurance of and confidence of salvation, the hope of heaven, of His calling, to see the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, that we would come to know the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we have this kind of prayer in our text. And would to God that we would pray it. Would to God that we would live it. Every head bowed and every eye closed.